Hello and welcome to Built to Go, a van life podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Wagg, coming to you from the College of Curiosity. And as you may hear, I have no voice. So we're going to do a little bonus episode here in lieu of our regular episode, because that's about all I can manage. So thank you very much for putting up with me, but let's get into it. So I just got back from an epic trip in Death Valley with the Skeptoid podcast group. I helped organize the trip for them, and about 50 of us went out to some of the farthest reaches of Death Valley and had an amazing time. The stuff we saw was really amazing stuff, but it took a toll. It took a toll on me, and my voice suffered greatly, so I don't feel up to doing the entire podcast this week, and I'm doing this bonus thing a couple days late, and I apologize for that. But I thought you should get at least a little bit of content this week, so I wanted to tell you a little bit about my trip. First off, we started in Las Vegas, which is kind of the jumping-off point for most Death Valley stuff. If you're going to go to Death Valley, you have to fly in. You're generally going to fly to Las Vegas. And I spent a day there, went to Meow Wolf Omega Mart, which was quite the experience, just like all the Meow Wolves are. Wolves? Wolfs? I'm not exactly sure what the plural of Meow Wolf is, but whatever it is, I have now experienced a plurality of them. So that's an interesting thing to see. And the Sphere, you've probably heard about the Sphere. It's this giant dome that glows in Vegas and has this incredibly high-res display on it, is really something cool. We stayed on the 24th floor of the Horseshoe Hotel and had a stunning view of the Sphere. My wife came out with me for a day, that's the week. We actually rotated the couch in the room and had it face the window so we could watch the Sphere rather than television, and that was a lot of fun. That said, I am pretty much done with Las Vegas. It is not the Las Vegas of yesteryear, and everybody will say that no matter what time is their time in Vegas. My time in Vegas was about 15 years ago. It's not the same Vegas anymore. It never is. It's just so expensive now. Every last thing is expensive. You have to pay $20 to park at the casinos. A plain old cup of gas station coffee is $6. Just, it never ends. My wife and I got 2 hot dogs and 2 coffees. It was $40. It's crazy. So, it's still the best jumping off point for a lot of interesting things in the desert. So, we gathered everybody together and went up to Beatty, Nevada, the Chicago of the West. Now, Beatty is not very comparable to Chicago. It's a little bit smaller. Oh, several orders of magnitude smaller. But for the region, it represents civilization. And it's a quaint little town. We completely overwhelmed them by having 50 people. We went to all these different restaurants in town, and they kept running out of food, which, again, this was an adventure. So we let people know that this is an adventure. We're not exactly sure what's going to happen, but we're going to experience it together. And we appreciate your flexibility. So we had a lot of fun in Beatty. We stayed at the Death Valley Inn. The folks there were super nice. And they had burros wandering around the hotel. So as soon as I got there, there was this burro kind of waiting for me, just standing there waiting for a pet and hopefully a snack, which sadly I did not have. That was pretty cool. And then we headed off into the park, and we saw so many different things. Death Valley can be an overwhelming place. It is the largest national park in the contiguous 48 states. Doesn't compare to Alaska, because what does compare to Alaska? But for such a park with so little attention paid to it, I mean, we heard a little bit about it this summer with the record temperatures, but compared to Yellowstone and Yosemite and now Zion, you don't hear that much about Death Valley, and that's a shame because there is space in Death Valley for more folks, and I've talked a lot about, you know, we have to spend more time on the parks that people aren't overwhelming. I would say Death Valley is one of those. And if you go at this time of year, end of October, it will actually be cool. You know, we had coats. We weren't wearing shorts. The highest temp I think we saw was 86, but the lowest we saw was 30, and it was a much more comfortable time of year to go. So we saw Artist's Palette, which is this beautiful set of hills that are all different colors. We went to Mesquite Flats Dunes, which are near Stovepipe Wells, where some of Star Wars was filmed, and it's just a kind of a cool place. You can pretend you're out in the Sahara, whatever. Massive dunes out there to explore. I've always loved it out there. We went to the Skidoo Stamp Mill, which requires a little bit of a hike, not a big deal. and saw this massive structure that was used to crush gold ore. And we had with us an expert geologist by the name of Andrew Dunning, who loves Death Valley and is a highly trained geologist. And he was able to give us not only the geological history of everything we were seeing, but a whole lot of the Death Valley lore. And boy, did it make a big difference having him with us, because it's one thing to look at this stuff and say, wow, that's pretty cool. It's another thing to look at this stuff and be told why it's cooler than you think. We also saw some petroglyphs in Emigrant Canyon that were very well preserved, and you could get right up to them, and great photography option for photographing petroglyphs. Petroglyphs of people and bighorn sheep, and we did actually see some real bighorn sheep, which was a first for me inside the park, and squiggly lines that maybe they're snakes, maybe they're water, who knows. That was also very cool. And then the most epic place we went on this trip was to Racetrack Playa. You have probably heard of Racetrack Playa in one way or another. This is the most famed location for the phenomenon of sailing stones. So for decades and centuries, people have known this place existed. And it's this big mud flat, basically. It's dry, it's hard, and there are rocks in it because it's surrounded by mountains, and the rocks fall down the mountains and end up in the mud flat, aka playa, which is just Spanish for beach. The thing that's weird about them is they move, seemingly all by themselves. And the way you can tell they move is that they leave tracks in the mud. So there are rocks out there, big rocks, you know, the size of soccer balls, that have moved over a mile along this flat, and you can see the tracks stretched out behind them. And they all move in different directions, which is weird. They will cross lines, and for many, many, many years, people are like, what is this? How does this work? And while there is a sign there now that explains it, it was actually Brian Dunning who was with us. He was one of the very first people to actually figure out the phenomenon. So we had him with us too, and he was able to explain it all. I knew from Brian how it was done. The last time I went out there, geez, maybe 10 years ago, and when I say done, this was a completely natural phenomenon. There's nobody out there pushing the rocks. It's not like crop circles where we know people made them. This was a natural phenomenon that no one had quite described. Brian figured it out, and I learned from Brian what it was, and I went out there by myself 15 years ago or so, and was talking to some of the people there witnessing it, and I explained how it was a combination of a wet surface and freezing temperatures at night that created ice, and the ice sheets move with the wind, and the rocks are embedded in the ice or just pushed along by big blocks of ice, and that's what makes the tracks, and the crossing tracks are because different sizes move at different times, and so on and so forth. If you are curious about the whole phenomenon, search Skeptoid Racetrack Playa, and the whole explanation is there. But the people I was explaining this to, who I didn't know, they were just there with me, said, don't you think aliens is a simpler explanation? And I said, no, but you're free to think what you'd like. And I wandered away because, I don't know, we just have this wish for supernatural, paranormal things to be true, even though we have a fascinating, real explanation that, to me, is much more interesting than just, oh, aliens did it. But whatever. Everyone gets to lead their own lives. Mine is going to be devoted mostly towards evidence-based belief. At any rate, it is a difficult place to get to. So I can go on and on about this trip, but let's just treat this as a segment on a place to visit. I think you should consider Racetrack Playa a pilgrimage. There were camper vans out there. I'll tell you right now, you cannot camp out there. It is a day-use area. There's plenty of other places to camp in Death Valley. So if you decide you're going to go to Racetrack Playa, it's going to be a day trip. And it is an arduous one. The easy way to get there is 30 miles on heavily washboarded roads. Very heavily washboarded. We all had our fillings shaken out. Somebody dropped a kidney. I mean, not quite. But we did have parts of the vans fall off. We lost a spare tire that fell off and some other parts. We don't really know what they were. So if you decide you want to go to Racetrack Playa, and I think you should absolutely do your research, and you will need a high clearance vehicle. You don't need four-wheel drive. You can't go out there if it's muddy anyway, so you're going to be going out under dry conditions. And if it's dry, you don't need four-wheel drive, but you do need high clearance. We went out there in Ford Transits, and it was fine. When I say fine, that means we made it. It doesn't mean your vehicle is going to escape damage. This is the kind of place that you're going to put maybe 10 to 100 times more wear on your vehicle than you would just driving down the highway. So know that. And 30 miles may not seem like very much, but when you're doing 15 miles an hour, well, you can do the math. It takes hours to get out there and to get back. And there are no services out there whatsoever. You might maybe get a cell phone signal if you stand in the right place, but you're not going to, there's no water, there's no bathrooms, there's nothing like that. So you're bringing everything with you. Do not try this in a plain old rental car. There's a very good chance you'll get stuck. If you have a well-built out camper van, go ahead and give it a shot, but know that you are going to be shaken like someone has picking up your van and shaking it, just like I almost said, like a baby, yikes. Shaking it like a maraca. There you go. That's a little safer. And batten down the hatches. They told us as we crossed the Drake Passage on the ship to Antarctica, they said, put everything on the floor because it's going to end up there anyway. Yeah, I mean, you might be in that situation where you'll find out if your cabinets stay closed under rough conditions. Let's just say that. Also, don't go out there alone. Go out there with another vehicle because you may need their help. And it ideally, it would be another vehicle of the same make so you could share spare tires, because this is one of those places where you may need two spare tires. All that said, we managed to get out there and stock Ford Transits, nothing fancy, and the only problem was that it was very bumpy. And it was beautiful. And I definitely think you should check it out. You can get some amazing photography out there of these rocks leaving these massive trails with mountains in the background. It's absolutely beautiful. And there are very few places on Earth that look like this. So check it out. And I think that's about all my voice can handle. So I'm very sorry for not having a podcast this week. Thank you to everyone who's donated to the show. I really appreciate it. I will mention you by name next time. But for now, I need to go just be quiet for a bit. Stay healthy. I will talk to you next week.